So unusually, and I'm really happy about it, sitting with me in studio today, not on the phone, because it's always great. You can kind of read their body language. It makes things more fun, is Dr. Brett Kovonik. He is a chiropractor. And we're going to be talking all things chiropractic related, including how on earth do you get into something like this in the first place, and posture, and you name it. You want to weigh in on the discussion? Do so. I'm very happy to put your questions to him. 061-895-101. Dr. Brett Kovonik, thank you so much for coming all the way to studio.
Thank you for having me on the show, Simon. Thank you. Much appreciated.
So tell me about you, because it just strikes me that this is like one of the most unusual professions to want to go into. Like, more, I want to be a chiropractor. How did this happen?
There's a lot of what we call Shkaka Pradesh, divine providence, would led me to it. I was actually thinking of one of the other routes. I was looking at physiotherapy, etc. And my parents, and particularly my mother, were saying, what about chiropractic? And I said, well, no, a bunch of quacks, they'll kill you. So she said to me very logically so, she said, have you ever met a chiropractor? Uh-huh. So I said, no. So I went to go meet with one. I didn't even watch him treat a patient. He actually sold me on the spot. I spent like an hour with him. He sold me. And then, yeah, I studied in Durban. I studied 6 years. Very, very rigorous program. They do full medicine first, and then there's chiropractic from the third, fourth year of studies. And I did complete my master's. And then from there, I was very, very fortunate. We had like the world's best of the best come to chiropractic to train us there. We had some of the world's top chiropractors. One was one of the top sports chiropractors, one of the best in the world today. He used to be the chiropractor for the NFL team, the Lakers. He used to be the chiropractor for the All Blacks, the Springboks. When he came here, and he wanted to get sports chiropractic on the map, exactly slap bang when I was actually towards the end of my studies, the last few years. And he made us really, really good at what we do. So he got us good at every area of the body in terms of all neuromusculoskeletal injuries. So chiropractors don't just treat your back or your neck, which is very, very common, or some of the most common problems presenting to doctors today. But he made us very proficient in every area, be it your wrists, and I'm looking at Simon's wrists here.
Yeah, funny you should say this.
Yeah, yeah. The wrists, your shoulders, your knees, your ankles. So I specialized postgraduate through an institution called FIX, which is the Federation International Chiropractic Sportif. They're from Switzerland.
Yes.
They're the regulatory body, the umbrella body, the unbelievable organization. They basically certify you postgraduate for any international team. They make sure that you can actually treat patients professionally, efficiently, well, and again, give a very good name to chiropractic, and sports chiropractic has grown exponentially across the world. We've done a lot of big games around the world. In this country, it's been growing unbelievably. There's an organization locally called Chiro Sport, which I'm also part of, and they've done unbelievable what they've done, like really kudos to them. So through them, I've actually had the opportunity to work with amazing, amazing teams. I've treated, thank goodness, amazingly, I've done the World Powerlifting Championships 3 times. I've done the National Rowing Championships twice. I did the National Squash Championships once. I did the World Squash Championships. I've done the National CrossFit Championships. I did the National Powerlifting. And there's each different sports. ATP Tennis Juniors. I did the All African Games.
All these broken people who are pushing their bodies to places that bodies were never intended to go in the first place, that you've got to somehow fix and rehabilitate. I think it's a very brave area to choose to make a living in. But I do want to talk to you about bad posture, because everybody talks about bad posture. Everybody blames everything on bad posture.
Correct.
What do we actually mean when we say that somebody's got bad posture?
Okay, so I'm glad you asked that question. So bad posture, I would call it like one of the afflictions of the generation. It's so, so common. In fact, I think the World Health Organization switched track. Originally, they were looking at smoking. And they actually moved on to, once they changed job, and they call it the affliction of this generation is what they call sitting is the smoking of this generation.
Fascinating.
Because from sitting comes everything. Literally, your posture, of course, will affect how your other things will come, your low back pain, your neck pain, your headaches, which is one of the most highest prevalence of presentation to your doctors, and the biggest loss of workforce is from low back pain. And then all the other things, sugar, diabetes, cardiac, cholesterol, hypertension, all of those feed off from no exercise, sitting, which is why I think Discovery have cottoned onto that and recognized if you do exercise, you move, and you sit correctly, etc., it gives them, they don't have to pay for medical bills.
So that old line about motion being lotion is actually...
Yes, very, very accurate. And chiropractic has always been right at the forefront of that. We've been saying that from even in the 80s already. That it's crucial to get mobility. I'm sure people are probably aware very simplistically that chiropractors are one of the treatment modalities. They use a sign called adjustment or spinal manipulation, which is one of the main functions is to restore mobility to a joint, which is very, very commonly gets restricted in motion due to your bare posture as one causative factor. Very common. They lose mobility, and as a result, from being in a certain position, and as a result, it'll cause lots of other conditions. So let's go back to posture. What really happens? So, you know, as a doctor chiropractor, we don't just look at your condition. We look at the backdrop. Why did you get it in the first place? Okay. That's much more important. So your body is a biomechanical chain. You know, that old age saying when they say your hip bones connected to your knee, to your ankle, yes, yeah? Yes, yes. So it's very, very true. People don't realize. In the old days, they used to look very focused, like, you know, you got your knee. Let's get very focused on your knee condition. Let's look at your ankle. Let's look at your ankle condition. But truthfully, it's got to be looked much more globally and broad-based because your body, as I said, is a biomechanical chain. So let's take a look at your wrist, Simon. So, okay. So yeah. you're going to have some scar tissue in that wrist from the injury. And scar tissue will actually I'm going off topic here, I think. So let me come back to posture first. Sorry about that.
We can talk about my L5S1 issues. You're very happy to go there if you want to.
Okay. All right. So sitting. Let's say you're sitting in a chair for a long time. And let's say you're sitting very, very poorly, as everyone very often is. So they're slouching forward. So what will happen is their muscles will start to shorten in their position. And they will lose flexibility. And as a result, they won't have the range of motion or the ability to move. And they might not have pain, but they will have lost some of that mobility of that joint. That joint will become more restricted, secondary to muscle tension or shortening. And as a result, it'll load structures higher up or lower down, be it in the glutes, or might be loading up higher up upper back, even the neck as a result. And over time, what will happen is they'll come with like a bit of low back pain, and they won't know why. And then, no, it'll be my hip as well. And then, my knee is actually starting up. The reason is because that's a separate thing. That's your nerve, actually. That's actually been irritable. It's clearly that normally if you're a disc, it touches the nerve roots a little bit. You get a little bit of tingling, natural repercussion on that. That can also be dealt with very, very well. So in terms of when you sit poorly, because of these postural aberrations that people so commonly do and not aware of. They say, I live with my posture. I live with my tension. They say my head is heavy on my shoulders. It feels it's too heavy, but that's how it is. I just live with it. But you don't have to if you identify it early enough, because those functional changes will lead to later structural changes. Because your joints are now a bit restricted in motion, I don't know if you realize, but I see when I work with athletes, especially athletes, even powerlifting, let's say, they put a lot of pressure on their joints. People ask me the question, don't they get a lot of wear and tear in their joints from all that powerlifting? Isn't there like a lot of wear and tear? Is that really safe? So I say to them, you know, it's interesting. What I've noticed with working with them is it's true. They do get a bit of wear and tear, but I'm seeing as much, and we are seeing this, we're seeing as much wear and tear in the joints from the sedentary population, if not more so than the actual the athletic population, because they're not moving. So what's happening is as a result of this, their joints, because they got tight musculature, restricted motion, instead of the joints moving nice, and I wish I could show you visually, but just try a picture, two surfaces moving against each other. And if they got pressure against each other, instead of moving nice and fluidly, yes. And I'm showing Simon, they're moving with pressure. And so you're sitting in your chair and you're not moving, you're sitting in a computer all day, so your joints are now moving with more pressure. And that unfortunately does, it wears down your joints much faster. So a lot of practitioners will say, oh, live it, it's normative wear and tear. But the truth is we can slow that process right down. If you get the identifier, and I do that often with my elite runners, my elite athletes, we identify these biomechanical inadequacies that are going on with them before it actually becomes problematic. And even when it is problematic, we deal with it and we stop it. We slow That's down the wear and tear process right in the tracks. That's very crucial, and it's a big area that's often missed. Another area we often see is these patients, they often, when they got bad posture, they go to their biomechanicist, whoever the professional is, the physio, the chiropractor, they say, oh, you're weak, you're very weak. You've been gymming for years even, but you're weak. But no one ever really says, why are you weak? So we often find, and we see this even with our powerlifters, if you get that all working properly, they suddenly go strong. there's often like they'll say your muscle's not firing. It's not firing. The nerve's not firing. It's the muscle. There's a reason why it's not firing. Something's not working right. So the nervous system naturally switches off a little bit. As soon as you get it working, suddenly they go strong again. So it is true. It's very important. You've got to do all these strengthening exercises. You've got to do these stretching exercises, broad-based rehabilitative programs. But there is this very big important component of biomechanics, making sure that the biomechanical chain, be it your hip joints, your low back, even upper back, knee, even ankle, foot, can play a very, very important role. Because as each part starts doing its job properly in that chain, and you have to play detective, it's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. You have to actually go from each one and look what's playing with what, and you start identifying where's the primary, where's the secondary. You can start seeing where these other conditions are coming from in the first place. So posture is very, very important. If you can catch it early, it stops the tightening. But if you don't, you need to look at these other things.
Yeah. We've got about 3 minutes left. If that, I want to talk to you about the fact that the reality of our lives is that we do sit for hours and hours and hours. What's your advice to somebody?
So for a person that's not going for any treatment, they first of all become aware. So one of the things is make sure that your chair is a decent chair, that you're not sitting too low down. If you sit in a very low chair, like a low couch or a chair that's a bucket seat, and you sit for long hours, that puts pressure on your disc, and over time it's going to actually wear down and you're going to start getting disc. Forget lifting up heavy objects. Forget lifting incorrectly. Just the sitting alone can start wearing your disc. Bang for your buck type thing is try and get your angle of sitting that you're not sitting at. If you can picture an acute angle, try sitting a little bit more of an obtuse angle where your seat part, where your bum goes, is angled maybe 10, 15 degrees down and your backrest is up against your back. In terms of when you're sitting at that computer, everyone is always thinking about the screens being in front of you. Make sure it's level. That's true. Another very crucial area is your keyboard. If your keyboard is flat, even if you're sitting properly, you're going to reach forward and go over and you're going to load up your discs in your lower back. You're going to load up the muscles in your neck. You're going to start getting a bit of what you call myofascial trigger points in your upper neck area, and getting headaches. Cervicogenic headaches, one of the biggest presentations to doctors around the world is cervicogenic headaches, often related to posture. And you can avoid that if you make sure when you sit with your laptop, you don't put the keyboard flat. Everyone in the early days was thinking carpal tunnel syndrome, tilting your keyboard a little bit. No one is thinking neck. But the truth of the matter is, if your keyboard is angled at a good many degrees, not even a low, it's got to be quite a bit, it will allow you to sit back. Everything moves towards you. You don't move towards it. So if your keyboard's angled just a little bit, you will find you can sit back in that chair. You won't be loading your neck nearly as much. You won't be leaning forward. You won't be wearing down your joints nearly as quickly. You can slow down that wear and tear process that everyone's getting, especially the sedentary population. You can slow it right down. And I'd love to see a lot more research coming out showing this, but empirically, this is what we are finding.
Final question for you. How often should you be standing up?
Ah, very good question. So ideally, it's a subjective question. There's no exact right, but it should be frequently. I'd say get up and go make coffee regularly. I'm not going to give you exact time, but yeah, you should be doing it quite frequently. Definitely less than an hour, probably half an hour. But if you sit too long, yeah, there's definitely going to be problems if you're going forward, especially if you're an RT guy. You've got to go make coffee regularly. Just move, and you've got to stretch. That's the other thing, stretching in the chair, pulling your head over to your shoulders. You've got to stretch. If you don't stretch, your muscles will start to shorten. If you stretch, your muscles will stay lengthened. It will prevent a lot of pressure of those joints wearing up against each other long term. Just a simple bang for your buck type pieces of advice that can help you without even seeing your practitioner.
Dr. Brett Kavonik, chiropractor. We're going to leave it there this afternoon. Thanks for coming into studio this afternoon.
Thank you very much for having me.